This is part two of a message by David Ebal entitled Submission, End Time Changes.
One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Rabbi, Rabbi, which is the greatest commandment of the... Are you under law and grace? Law or grace? Law or love, which is it? All right. Now, if you're interested in the law, Jesus said to him, Thou shalt agape the Lord thy God with all thy cardia, with all thy psyche, and with all thy dianoia. I know that's not the way it says in yours, but he said, you love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, how many know that I teach the soul is the mind? Well, this is a translation problem here again. The word soul is psyche, but the word mind is dianoia in the Greek. So he's not talking about the same thing. And here's what he's saying. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy cardia, heart. Out of the innermost parts, bowels, heart, shall flow rivers of the living water, but this spake he of the... Always the reference to the inner man is the reference to the spirit. Spirit. Organs, spirits. Okay. So you love the Lord your God with all your spirit. If you can see it that way, can you understand this? Then the next word is very obvious. All your psyche. Now, how do we translate that here? Attitudes. All your attitudes. All your emotion, will. And this time, instead of using the mind, I have to hold that for the next word, because dianoia is the gray matter that's in your skull. And can I call that your carnal mind? And carnal mind is that portion of the mind that controls this meat house. How many can understand that now, what it's talking about? You are to love. You can't love with the initial meat, but you can love with the control of the meat house. That's the gray cortex of your cranium. If you, that's the actual... the brain that's hooked to your muscles. Okay. Now your psyche includes that and all of your analysis and history and remembrance, and how many understand that? But the dianoia would be that carnal mind or brain that just makes the carnal functions work. Carnal means meat. How many know? Carne, meat. Right. Makes this meat house work. How many understand what I just said? All right. So we're to love the Lord our God with the spirit, the soul, and the body. That controls the physical body, the dianoia. Now, did I do any... did I stretch anything too far for you? Huh? Spirit, soul, body. That's what it says again. Though these are symbols for spirit, soul, body. Can you see it? At least symbols for spirit and body. The word soul comes out. Good. However, like, for instance, the word psyche is translated mind also other places in the Bible. So if they were to translate the word psyche into mind, like they did other places in the Bible, thou shalt love thy heart, the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy mind. Well, that didn't make sense, because they assigned the word mind to dianoia. So in this case, they had to back up and assign psyche to soul, or soul to psyche. Because sometimes they translate it mind, and sometimes they translate it soul. And sometimes life, L-I-F-E. So you could say it another way if you want to translate it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy life and all thy mind. And you'd still be according to the pattern that the translators have used. Am I making sense to anybody here tonight? You look like you are really in the clouds. Is this too hard for you to play with three great Greek words all at one time? Well, it's...
Not if you could
span
it in the English.
All right. I want to show you something. I cannot teach you this lesson. How many already knew that?
Amen.
All right. All the Pharisees were gathered together. I'm sorry. We'll go to 38. This is the first and great commandment. The second's like unto it. Thou shalt agape thy neighbor as thyself. And we taught a whole lesson on that one, didn't we? I can't love you until I can first love. Until I can really be satisfied that I am, at least today, what God wants me to be today. And until I can come to that realm, I can't really be satisfied that you're the way God wants you today. That's why I kept finding fault with all you guys. Don't kid me, that's why you were finding fault with me too. Because you have standards that you want me to line up to. Huh? Well, I've quit putting my standards on you, so quit putting them on me. I love you just the way you are. With your flathead. Or whatever the other, problem. I'm not trying to be insulting, but how many can understand that no matter what the problem is, we accept each other with our present problems. Just the way we are. How many can you understand that now? I've finally come to that point because I had to first accept me the way I was. It took several experiences and one outstanding experience for God to show me the way I was. Then I could accept other people the way they were, and I praise God for it. Even though it sure, as I look back on it, it still gives me the shudders when you think what you have to go through before God gets your attention, you see. And then that's when I say about that time I began to love other people. Now, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of the anointing?" Says Christ there. "And whose son is the anointed one?" The Christ. They said unto him, "The son of David. And he said unto them, "Well, how then doth David in..." Oh, I'd underline that word, but while we keep going. "In spirit, call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David called him Lord, how then is he his son? For the son calls the father Lord. Does that make sense to you? The father doesn't call the son his Lord. The son calls the father the Lord. "And no man was able to answer him a logos. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." He stumped him on that one. How can David call Christ Lord if the Christ is the son of David? And the answer is, you must divide from the very first, verse 22, until this point. The subject is spirit, soul, and body. And in the realm of spirit, soul, and body, there are differences that must be accounted for. And if we only look upon this as referring to the body, we will never understand the scripture, for some things referring to the spirit predate everything we know in the body. Lord, make him understand that anyway. Don't you understand that David can't refer to Christ as Lord, his own son, in the natural? but in the
Spirit.
Christ was there when he spoke the Word, the Logos, and the Word made David's body. Now, David is not saying my body is calling the Christ the Lord, for in the loins of David was the body of Jesus Christ. But the spirit of David knew full well that the Christ spirit was his Lord, though in the body it could never be. Are you seeing what I'm doing? This whole thing must be dividing spirit, soul, body from the beginning to the end here, or you'll never get it. It'll just be a... How many have read this and wondered what it was all about? Come on now. It doesn't make sense until you see this. All right. Then spake Jesus unto the multitude and to his disciples, saying... Now at this point is when the Spirit came on me. And really, I got goosebumps right now when I think about it. For I've been having a terrible time, an awful time lately. Everybody has been putting me under the bondage and saying, Ebaugh, you'll never get your points across, you'll never amount to anything until you subject yourself to the elders, until you have people over you who can then be your covering and your elders. And everywhere I've gone, even last week I heard it all night long, that there are people here from God and you need to have elders over you, and even though you are going out and teaching and this kind of stuff, you need to have a group, a bunch of people that you can turn to, and when things go bad, they'll give you some money and, you know, this kind of stuff. And always, down here, I can't take it, I'm sorry. Now, I'll tell you, it feels good out here. I mean, let's face it, you know. Stark Brothers, Hart, Schaffner, and Marx, Icky Freeman, that's good. To the flesh, the body. Dianoia. Makes sense up there. But I just can't get with it. And yet everybody's pushing me into this and pressing me and saying, you got to do it this way. Furthermore, they showed me that all around me were people who were looking for a leader. And if I would only become their leader. So many, many people and friends want a leader, and if I would just set myself up as their leader and then subject myself to other leaders, we could have a nice, if you excuse the expression, hierarchy.
Church.
Denomination. Priest. Bishop. Cardinal. Rabbi. Okay. And the pressures have been very, very great on me. In fact, the pressures for the last 5 years have been very great in this realm. But I can't get with it. And all I tell you, I had an anointing today as I began to read this and I saw it. Now he said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. So Jesus bound all his disciples to the law of Moses. The Pharisees. That's not the only thing, is it? But do not ye after their what?
Works.
For they say and do not. And I began to see that this whole lesson from verse 22 until the end of chapter 23 is a lesson on being subject or subordinate or finding what's in charge of what. Now listen. The highest order, your highest order is your cardia. Say it. Spirit. And if your spirit is in control, how many remember this? This little symbol here. Spirit, soul, body. When your spirit is in control, then your psuche can tell your body, which is carnal, cardia, what to do.
Amen.
How many can see it? So then, I must align, Lord help me, not under elders, but under the Spirit. And if I can align myself under the Spirit and work all my motives to be aligned by the Spirit, I can really be manifested as a son of God. But as long as I teach and live motivated by the psuche, then I'll go the way that we've always gone for 2,000 years. And I'll end up where my fathers have ended up. I'm not finding fault with my fathers. Oh, please don't misunderstand me. But I've got to come into something better. A better inheritance. Can't you see that? Now, how is it that this must occur? To get this question back here. And here's some more scriptures. Oh, Lord. Let that angel stop the clock. You know the one with the right foot on the land, the left foot in the sea?
Before you get too far past it, I just looked up this word back in verse 40. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And this is the same word that's used with Jesus hanging on the cross. So in a sense, the law and the prophets,
nailed.
In a natural sense, are dying, but in a spiritual sense, they're coming unto life, depending upon which way you look at it.
Did you hear that? Beautiful parallel. Did you get that? That's just what I was going to try to get at next. How do we know we're under the law? The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to the anointing. Now, after you're under the anointing, you're not under the law. But until you are the anointed, you still need some laws, schooling, to keep your dumb head in line. Okay? And if in our desire and motivation to come out of the law, if you can see it this way, if you're trying to come out of the law, it's wrong. But if you're trying to come into Christ, it's right. What's the difference?
Motive.
Attitude. All right. What is it? Oh, this is so important. Because how many know I've been trying to come out of the law? How many know I've been trying to come into Christ? And I didn't see it this way until the Holy Spirit began to show me. That why do you want to come out of the law? Well, if you want to come out of the law in order to get freedom, it's wrong. But if you want to come into Christ, you'll come out of the law. And it's right. So you've done the same thing, but it's why you did it that makes the difference. Oh, Lord, this is so important. Engraft that in these minds, Lord. I can't. Our motive is not to come out of the law. Our motive is to come into Christ, Spirit, anointing. That takes us out of the law. Not that we took ourselves out of the law. And while we're coming into the Christ, we still must have the framework of certain law, or else See, now you're not all the way Christ, so therefore you're halfway soul, suki, kernel. And that, what does that mean? You've got to have some, be boxed in. And as each area becomes in Christed, or you in Christ or him in you, now you can come out of the law, and now you're safe. But until you're in Christ, if you come out of the law, you're very unsafe. Now, does that make sense to you? Oh, I'll tell you, this is a tremendous thing to me. Therefore, I've begun to see that until I am actually fully manifested as the body of Christ, I still must have operating within me a framework of rules and laws, because I am still a natural man. And I've got to come out of the law, but if I come out of the law as my motivating factor, it won't work. So then my motivating factor is to come into Christ. And when I'm in the in Christ position, I cannot die. Yes? The anointing. Right, right. But you see, here's the point that I'm trying to get at. He was, when Jesus was baptized of the Holy Spirit, it's a different form of the word baptized than when we speak in tongues. When he was baptized of the Holy Spirit, he was full, effervescent, flowing, and never emptied. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like putting water in a glass and drinking some out. He was without measure, wherewith? Full and then empty. How many have been full and empty? Come on now. When you're full, you don't need the law. When you're empty, you do. How's that? Huh? Now you see what I'm talking about? When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're just full, filled up to the brim, overflowing and effervescent, you see, then what good is the law? You don't need the law. You're free from the law. You couldn't do anything wrong anyway. And the law of love would always lead you into the right decisions. But when you're half full or drained, how many have been drained? Come on. All right. Then you need the framework, because under those conditions, you're not led up down here, you're led up here. Come on now, you saved people. Shake it up and down. You're led up here. That's why you need some rules. Because you're not all the way in Christed, or, can I say, manifested sons. Okay? Now, if in our desire to become manifested sons, sons of God, or if in our desire to, can I say, never die, if you'll understand it that way, if this is our motive to become a Christ, in Christed, good. But if your motive is to get out of the law of death, bad. And yet the result is the same. It's not what you do, it's why. Why you do it, see? Right? Motive. Am I making sense? Oh, this is really... Oh, Lord, you got anointed. This is great. I feel anointed. Praise God. All right. Now, I got to read fast now, because he says the same thing over and over and over and over again. Now, they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders. They themselves will not move them with one of their little fingers. But all the works they do is for to be seen of... Aha. The purpose of a hierarchy is to be seen of... They make broad their phylacteries. That's this thing that fits on the forehead. How many have seen the Jews with the little... here and the thing on the arm. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. All right, well, let's do that. And they enlarge the borders of the garments. Robes. No offense if you wear robes. That's all right. But if your motive is to look nice, that's all wrong. They love the uppermost rooms and feasts and chief seats in the synagogues. I'll tell you, I had the uppermost room and a feast and in the synagogue last week. Wow, did they treat me. I was in a place where the guy was actually like a king. And for 12 hours, we sat in kind of a Eastern Oriental style, where we had people, and every time I wanted something, I'd just go like that. And there were two or three people that'd get it. I didn't have to move for anything. He had colored waiters that would bring everything in, and he had all these girls standing around. He was a king. Literally, he was a king, and I was the visiting sheik. And it was something. And we did have a time. Well, that was neat to my body. It was really... Yeah, and then I got home. All right. Greetings in the markets, and to be called a man. Rabbi, rabbi, teacher, great man. Be not called teacher, rabbi, great man. For one is your leader, master, even the anointing, Christ, and ye are all brethren. And then the Spirit said, when Dave Ebaugh is the teacher, then nothing happens at the Bible class. But when Dave Ebaugh is the brother, anointed of the Holy Spirit. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I have a rightful place. I've been studying, preparing. I've got an outline and a lesson, right? And I've got to deliver it. But if Dave Ebaugh is the teacher, and Dave Ebaugh's personality and his phylacteries and his garments and his, you know, if he's projecting Dave Ebaugh, then that's all that gets taught. But now, as the teacher, he has to be the brother. That's when the anointing can flow. And not only that, but then he showed me the other part. Call no man your pater or your father upon the earth, for one's your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters or leaders, for one is your master leader, even Christ the anointing. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be... And then I saw it. And then I saw it. Listen carefully. When I realized that as your teacher or tutor, I am really the son of the high school janitor. Literally, that's who I am. My name is David Ben Paul Ben Jesse in lineage.
This message by David Ebaugh, entitled Submission, End Time Changes, will continue on cassette number 2.